This is Pocket Presence, powered by Sleeper. Welcome back to another Pocket Presence Friday happy episode. And on this happy Friday, I'm just going to say it. Jaden Daniels in the MVP race has now creeped up, I believe, into like the top 10. His odds preseason were like plus 10,000. Now he's hovering right around plus 1,000. And the guys above him on the list aren't playing nearly as good as he is. It's a popularity thing. All I'm going to say is there was a show, a Sleeper-sponsored, Sleeper-produced show that talked about this all offseason. And we got called crazy, Tyler, but we're not so crazy after all, are
no,
we?
No, I mean, you just have to watch the tape. You're a guy who watches the tape, and you called it. You called it. A lot of people didn't want to hear it, but you called it.
They didn't want to hear it. You know, and that's the thing with me. Like, I'm just going to watch the tape, and I'm going to tell you what I see. If I find some gems, I'm going to find some gems, and I'm going to tell the world about it. And the tape doesn't lie. And I think the tape doesn't lie will lead us into a few more of these other conversations that we're about to have today, because some of these games are a little weird. This is a weird week in the NFL. We're starting to get into flex territory where some of these primetime games will no longer be primetime games in the next few weeks. But yeah, man, let's get this started. I'm excited.
I'm excited too. We'll talk about Jaden Daniels going into Baltimore. I think that'll be, we're having the Heisman conversation right now in college football. You talk about a Heisman moment. I think there needs to be probably a signature win or a win where Jaden Daniels really stamps himself as having arrived, and this Baltimore game feels like a game he can do that. But before we get there, I know a lot of Packer fans are listening and thinking about the Romeo Doubs situation, obviously coming off a good win against the Rams, but it feels like there's some weird tension happening down on Lombardi Ave. So could you give a little insight into what you think is happening around Romeo Doubs? Because the reports coming out are conflicting, and you're probably only getting one side of the story.
Yeah. I don't know what has been said this week. I haven't been following the reports for Romeo this week. Is he back yet? Is he in practice?
I don't know. I'll check as we talk here.
Well, regardless, from what I heard on my inside info, it was an argument that went south, and said player was standing his ground this time versus just submitting to an argument being a one-sided argument, which sometimes in coaching, coaches don't do that to every player. Sometimes it's a two-lane street of conversation there and back. Sometimes coaches speak down to players, and sometimes players don't take so kindly to that. And I've been around so many different coaches that some are collaborative, some are not so collaborative. And it seems like this might have been a buildup of an argument that went south, and Romeo said, F it, I'm just not going to show up the next day, which I'm not advising anybody to do. I think that's not the way to handle it. I think you go in the building and you have that second or third argument or conversation, whatever you want to do. But I think you got to at least show up for work. However, I've been in those rooms before, and I know how those arguments can go, and I know how people can push buttons. And Romeo Doubs is super quiet if you know him. He works really hard. He is selfless. And the reports that we're talking about him wanting the ball more, that's not what it was about. And that's where I wanted to say something publicly on social media about, like, it's not these narratives that are being spun up to try to make it make sense just aren't it. And sometimes you have people that have a difference of opinions, and people voice it in different ways, and some are more receptive than others. And things can happen. Arguments can go south. I've been in heated arguments in the quarterback room before where you just sit there and you're like, holy fuck, is he going to stop? And it just is what it is. Like that people don't even know that publicly. It never comes out. It's just like it's in closed doors. If he had showed up for work the next day, no one in the media would have ever known that that was one of the arguments that had ever happened. These things happen all the time. It's the NFL. And the difference in the NFL is you have grown men as coaches speaking to grown men as players, sometimes like they're children. And they're not. And they're grown-ass men that make grown-ass money, and they have a grown-ass life. And the dynamic in the NFL is it's weird, right? Like, you have a coach that's supposed to lead the way, but the best coaches, in my opinion, lead the way by just like pulling you along and guiding you along instead of speaking down to you. And sometimes tensions flare and seasons feel a little weird because you maybe lose a game you shouldn't, and like people want to speak up and give their opinion because maybe they don't believe it's being done the best way, right? Like, nobody has all the answers. And I think from my perspective, that's more along the lines of what happened. And again, I don't have 100% accuracy for it, but it's not all the random shit that people were pulling out of their asses to say that Romeo Doubs has this and that and the other.
Yeah.
The NFL is a high stakes business with a lot to lose and a lot of money on the line. And sometimes the power dynamics get a little weird.
Yeah. So I think that's a great perspective, because as fans and as consumers of this reality TV show that's playing out in front of us, we want it to be this drama that boils over and personalities going at each other. But like you said, that's something that happens all the time that we're not always privy to from mm-hmm. the outside. And the thing that really seemed to result in the suspension and him not playing last week was not showing up to practice, which I think is something yeah. that, in my opinion, Matt LaFleur did a nice job smoothing over, where he was like, you know what, we're just going to hopefully get him back and hopefully move on. And I think that was a great way of him being like, he made a mistake not showing up to practice, which, as you said, is not something you'd advise anybody doing. But these arguments that may or may not have played out, when they're broadcast for public consumption, they probably look worse than they are, because us as fans don't know. They're happening all the time. I mean, this is a heated, passionate business.
Yeah. Dude, I have been in so many uncomfortable rooms with arguments between people that just, you're just like, holy shit, is this ever going to stop? And it's like, they wouldn't do it on TV. And then like, they got to act like they like each other later. It's just, I mean, you got to think, you spend sun up to sundown every single day for like 8 to 9 months with the same people. And people that, if you had to choose where you'd go to work, if you had a choice, you wouldn't choose to work with. And it just, that is what it is. Like, it is a job. Sundays are fun. The week is a job. Like Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Monday. Like, it's all, it is a job. You're barely on the field. You might be on the field for an hour and a half in a day. Like, if that, sometimes 2 hours. The rest of the 10 hours that you're in the building, you're sitting in a meeting room talking about plays, talking about install. And you know, like, sometimes people don't agree. And sometimes people are receptive of hearing people that they don't agree. And sometimes they're not. It's life. Yeah. So I just think that the media has to have a reason for something all the time. Well, maybe he's got mental health. Maybe he's afraid of flying. Like, fuck, dude, people are people. Like, chill the hell out. People get into arguments. Some people take it better than others. Some people say, F you, I'm not coming to work the next day. Okay, then there's going to be repercussions for it. But like, let's not just throw him into the mental health facility like he's got, you know, like things going. Like, we just can't label people like that. When I just think people don't realize the NFL is reality football all the time. And you only get to see 10% of it on TV. Yeah.
I think that's a great perspective. I want to touch on it and move on here. We talked about you calling Jaden Daniels. We've been talking about Jaden Daniels for a long time. Sam Darnold, another guy. I mean, I would say maybe two of the top contenders in the MVP conversation, or two guys that have a lot more momentum than maybe previously thought. And we now have the entering of Spencer Rattler and Drake May into the mix, two more rookie quarterbacks. Yeah, I know you've done film reviews on both of these guys coming out of college. What are you expecting for each of these guys as they make their first starts this week?
I'm nervous for Drake May. I think Drake May's got like a skill set that can be like, he can find success with. Good God, I don't know if he's going to find success in New England. Not with the way that shit looks right now. Everyone pray for Drake May and his health. Spencer Rattler, that's a tough game to be opening up against the Bucks. I think the Bucks are going to come in and win that game. I think Spencer's going to bring an element of gameplay that feels different than Derek Carr. I think it's going to feel not so rigid. I don't know, when you watch Derek Carr play, it feels like it's really clean and rigid. And then when it's chaotic, it's haywire. There's not much in between. Oh, man. I don't know. He said he was going to feed Olave, so I'm sure fantasy fans are excited about that. That's the best thing you can say coming to a presser after the starting quarterback gets hurt. Say, I'm going to feed the guy. You'll love me. And nobody's going to care if the Saints lose if Olave gets 100-plus receiving yards fantasy-wise. So I think smart play by Spencer Rattler there. I think he's going to be okay. That Bucs defense is tough to play against. I don't know. All I'm going to say is the Saints. I know, if you started the season the last 2 weeks and exclude the first 2 weeks of the season, in my mind, they'd be 0-3. So I know that the first 2 weeks happened, but let's just act like that was preseason, because that's not the Saints that they actually are. I gave my apology to the Saints fans saying that they wouldn't suck. That I'm sorry. And I'm almost taking it back, because they suck. They looked so incompetent last week against the Chiefs. I just, that whole organization might be blown up coaching wise within the next like 6 weeks. We were just a little bit off. We were off in the preseason part of the game. But I think our what we've thought about the Saints is actually coming.
Yeah, this is the dragon that we should not be chasing all season. I mean, this last week we were trying to hype them up, saying that they could beat the Chiefs. They come out looking horrible, and now we're back behind the eight ball. Maybe we have a neutral opinion this week. We hope everybody plays well and stays healthy, and then next week we can maybe declare our new opinion on the Saints because we can't track them down.
Yeah, it's kind of gross.
All right, I want to move on to Robert Saleh getting fired in New York. A bit of a surprise. Did you have him on your hot seat, especially after this week? Did you expect this to be done this early?
I didn't expect it to be done this early, but I had him on my warm seat. You know, I talked about it a little bit the other day on Warren Sharp's show. When you're publicly coming out and telling the media that you want your quarterback to play a different way with his cadence and this and that, things that other teams are hoping to God he doesn't use his cadence. Like, they're hoping you handcuff Aaron Rodgers in that way. What do you think's being said behind closed doors? If that's publicly what he's willing to say, what is being said behind closed doors where it's like, I'd rather you take the tempo down a little bit. I'd rather you not risk a three and out because our defense might be gassed. Like, when you have a defensive head coach, there's certain things that come with that, especially if they've never done it before. This is his first time being a head coach, managing the entire team. He had no clue what the offensive side of the ball looked like and how they operate and how like the nuances to the game work. And I think to publicly come out and say some things about your quarterback that way, like, let's be honest, dude, Aaron Rodgers makes a fuck ton more money than you will ever. Like, the Jets pay Aaron Rodgers a lot more than you to be there, to be the savior of their franchise. You have shown that you cannot do it with any other quarterbacks. Like, at the end of the day, there's one common denominator for the Jets' struggles in the past 3 to 4 years. One person that's been there the whole time. And at the end of the day, I think Jeff Albrecht's going to get the guys to play harder. And I think that I'm really looking forward to seeing what does this offense look like without this like looming cloud of handicappedness from Saleh on how he creates the game script, wants these games to go. I don't know, man. I've seen it before. And I think you might actually see a team that's playing a lot more loose and less calculated and afraid to make mistakes and more willing to just take the shots and be able to come out the gate swinging, right? Like, the Jets haven't come out the gate swinging at all. And part of me believes that maybe behind closed doors, there was some, hey, play this safe. We got a good defense. We can just play efficient, win the turnover battle. Like, we don't need to put up 50 points. Some defensive coordinators hate that shit. Like, they really hate offenses that go fast, move the ball around, spread around, throw it around a lot, because you risk being off the field and back on defense in a 45-second span, right? So that's where my mind goes when I saw this firing. I think there's some stuff behind closed doors that we don't know about. Again, the NFL is wild. But, yeah, I think this is a really good move for the Jets.
I'm going to push back.
What do they have to lose?
Yeah, I want to push back on this a little bit. And part of this might be out of ignorance, but when I look at the Jets the past couple of years, their defense has been great. Saleh is a defensive guy. Yep. It's their offense, especially this year, that's been underwhelming, which, in my opinion, falls on Rodgers, falls on Hackett. And there's even reports coming out now that they were considering firing Hackett. Saleh was even about to take away play calling duties from Hackett. And so it seems like he's being used as the scapegoat for something that didn't fall under his purview. But what I'm hearing from you is that even though he's a defensive coach, he probably had more say in the offensive game plan than a lot of us think.
Yeah, and you know, the coach comes in every week and he sets the stage for what is this, what's going to be required for us to win this game? How's this game going to go? And that's what Shanahan did a great job of. Hey, this game's going to require us to run the ball 30 plus times. We're going to need to do this, that, and the other. We're going to have to do this on third downs. Like, there's like a game script and an overarching like, hey, what do we need to do to win? And then that is given to everybody else to, hey, go formulate your game plans with that in mind. And again, I don't believe he's been calling defensive plays either, right? That's Jeff Albrecht, who's been the defensive coordinator calling plays. The biggest thing, in my opinion, if you're the head coach and you are fucking up situational football, not using the timeouts well, not understanding, like, you know, how 2 minute works, like, it doesn't seem like they were ever going to be lethal in that department with Saleh as the guy. You look at McDermott last week. He just gave that game to the Texans. Like, there's certain coaches that, for whatever reason, situational football just is way too beyond them. And it feels like that was kind of a theme as well for them. So I don't know, man. I think there's a certain way, like when you talk to players in a certain light or talk to coaches in a certain light, you could see how he spoke about people in the media on his own staff and on his own team. Imagine how he was talking to them behind closed doors, right? Like, something is super fishy about this, and we'll find out soon if he's the scapegoat or if this creates a spark that they did not have without him. We're all just going to sit here and watch the same thing. It's either going to go one way or it's going to go the exact same, and then we know it wasn't him. But something tells me that, I don't know, man, I've seen it, right? Like I've literally seen it where a guy in charge can hold people back for whatever reason, even though there's play calling duties on other people. It never looked like they were on the same team, to be honest. So we'll see.
I want to touch more on this, and we'll get to that when we talk about Buffalo, New York. But let's jump into this slate of games here. We'll start with Arizona at Green Bay. The Packers are favored by 5, back in Lambeau Field. Kyler and Marv can make this game go quick. They can score quickly, but we've also seen them look really bad at times. And yeah. in the same breath, you've seen the Packers start off slowly. So for me as an apprehensive fan, it seems like there's a possibility where the Packers dig themselves a hole once again, maybe one that's too deep to come back from. What do you think?
You know, I think the Packers put it all together this game. It's in Lambeau. It's a hard place to play. Their defense seems to be getting a little bit more healthy every single week. Hopefully they get some guys back. And at the end of the day, if the Packers receivers just catch the football, then third and long doesn't exist as often. Third down doesn't exist as often if you catch it on second down and move the chains. Like, I truly think that the Packers have been shooting themselves in the foot in every single game that Jordan's playing. And they're this close to just these games being blowouts. Like, these games could very well just be where they flip the script, blow them out, and there's no looking back. Leading the league in drop pass percentage is not something that's going to lead to winning many games. And the Packers have found a way to still win games. Their defense is creating a shit ton of turnovers. Like, they're so close to just running away with these games. And I think that if they get a chance this week, they will do that. And again, Arizona just beat San Francisco in San Francisco, but also San Francisco didn't have a field goal kicker for like the last half of the game. And they had to go for it on fourth down in their own red zone, like 2 or 3 different times. If they had a kicker, they would have won the game. So like, Arizona would not have even had a chance to win that game. It would have been 2-score game. Like, it wouldn't even have been that close. And I just think the Packers handle business this week. Again, no offense to Kyler Murray. Kyler Murray is a dog. He's one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. He's playing on a team that's not the best. I think the Packers have a better team. And I would expect Josh Jacobs to have a big game. I'm expecting the receivers to be efficient. And I think Jordan Love's going to have a good game again. And this could be the game right now. Again, they're sitting at 3-2. This could be the game. They go 4-2 and they start getting on a little bit of a run, just like they did last year, but they're going to be in a better position this year for that run than they were last year with their backs against the wall. So I think the Packers are going to start getting hot, and literally it just starts with catching the football. If they catch the football, man, that offense can keep rolling and rolling and rolling. They're putting themselves in situations that the defense isn't even putting them in at this point, to be honest. So yeah, I'm excited to see which version of this team shows up.
What do you make of how this Packers defense has been playing so far? There's obviously been a lot of turnovers, but at the same time, there's been a lot of points given up. So how do you balance that?
I love it. I could not care less. Could not care less about the points they're giving up. I'm all about the belief of stealing possessions, especially in the modern day NFL. If your offense can score points, who gives a shit? You're going to beat a team 50-28 because you can score more often. Like, if you can just, when they turn it over, typically it's going to be with decent field position, find a way to get points off turnovers every single time, you are flipping the game. And then eventually you're making it to where that other offense is playing from behind and having to go hurry up, having to drop back. That's when your DNs can pin their ears back. The Packers have not really been able to take full advantage yet on offense of the turnovers they're receiving. And once they do, man, these games, they're going to get out of hand quick. Let's see if they can do it this week.
You did a Jordan Love break.
So I love the defense.
Yeah, I do too. I mean, when you're creating those kind of turnovers, you're right. It's not only exciting to watch, but you get more cracks at it, which with all these drops, man, it seems like the offense needs as many chances as possible to get things going. Let's move on to Washington and Baltimore. We talked about it earlier. Jaden Daniels is now going to be a 6.5-point underdog at M&T Bank Stadium. This seems like a game that he could solidify himself in that MVP conversation, though.
He 100% can. And I'm watching this all play out. Like, Jaden Daniels is the type of guy that Baltimore's defense, in my opinion, is going to have a tough time with. He can throw, which the defense has been decimated through the air. But the Baltimore Ravens defense thrives when they can squeeze the pocket on people and get sacks, right? Like, they're very opportunistic in that, right? He can do both of what Joe Burrow did last week and do things that Lamar can do, right? Like, he is a different dude. I don't love Baltimore as 6.5-point favorites, knowing what Baltimore's like, to be honest. Like, Baltimore, in my opinion, they beat up on people, and then they're not really who they're supposed to be, and then they lose. Like, this could very well be a Commanders, like, 10 to 12-point lead. Like, easy. This could also be maybe Baltimore wins by 3. I don't love the 6.5. I would love teasing this Washington to +7.5 because I think there's no way the Commanders lose by more than a touchdown. And I also think the Commanders can win this game. It's going to be hard, though. You're going to M&T Bank Stadium. Lamar's playing amazing football right now. Like, Lamar's doing everything. However, if Baltimore can get behind the sticks a little bit, if the Commanders' defense can be opportunistic, the Commanders' offense is so efficient that it's hard to lap them. If you have a turnover as the Ravens, if you have one or two turnovers, good luck. Because the Commanders just don't really turn over the ball. They take forever off the clock because they go first down, second down, third down, convert. And then they'll hit you with a bomb when you get too risky. I love the Commanders right now. And even if they lose this game, I still love them.
Let's flip over to the Baltimore side. What do you make of what Derrick Henry is doing at 30 years old? We see all the stats about the regression that running backs have once they pass 29 mm-hmm. years old. I mean, that's why the Packers moved on from Aaron Jones this year. But Derrick Henry, for however they're using him over there in Baltimore, seems to be immortal at this point.
You know, Derek, like, when you watch him play, his running style it doesn't go away as fast as some of these other guys that are quick and twitchy. And, like, he is a downhill strong runner that when he gets an open space, you're not going to catch him. He's going to open up a stride. Like, that is a sustainable style of running that as you get older, that doesn't fall off as fast as a 24-year-old quick twitch running back that just maybe lost a step. Derrick Henry can afford to lose a step because of how big he is, his run style. He leans on people, like, he's got a stiff arm, you know what I mean? Like, and then if he gets a little bit of open space, he can open up stride like a long distance runner. So that's why he's been able to do it as long as he is. His style translates. Some of these other guys, like, you look at some quarterbacks that, like, need their feet to be who they are. They're going to have a shorter lifespan than some of the guys that are just dialed in, like, accurate passers that can make people miss a little bit. So it's kind of in that same realm of he is built to have a longer career than a lot of these running backs because of the style of which he runs.
All right, let's move down to Detroit at Dallas. Detroit, interestingly, favored by 3 on the road. I find that interesting because I feel like there's usually an overcorrection for wins in the NFL. And even though the Cowboys barely squeaked by the Steelers last week, they did win the game. So I figured the line wouldn't be like this, but what do you make of it?
Yeah, I honestly think the Lions are going to roll and run away with this game. Dallas, their offense, like, yeah, they can move the ball. CeeDee Lamb's good. Dak's playing pretty well. But the red zone turnovers are a little bit sketchy. I also think that Dallas never really had their back against the wall fully in that Pittsburgh game. It was just kind of like a trudge along, and then let's go, like, win this game in the last drive. So, like, that was sweet. But that Dallas defense is not going to stop the Lions from scoring almost every drive. So when Dallas offensively has to score on every single drive and cannot afford to make mistakes, how are they going to play? In a home stadium that they're kind of ready to give up on you right now. Like, the Dallas fans are very close to flipping the switch here. Mike McCarthy is on the hot seat. Like, you know what I mean? I think this could be... I could see the Lions coming into this game and just rolling, like, 42-17 type of shit. Because, one, they can run the shit out of the ball. David Montgomery's playing the best football of his life. Gibbs is a good switch-up back. I know everyone said Gibbs RB1. He's okay. They'll give him his red zone carries from time to time. But David Montgomery makes that offense go. And how are they going to guard Amon-Ra and Jameson Williams now that Jameson's popping off? As long as Jared Goff doesn't do weird shit, then the Lions are going to handle business. I think they're going to run away with this game.
All right, let's finish up with Buffalo at New York. Buffalo is favored by 2.5 at MetLife. This one's interesting because I know you haven't had the highest opinion of the Bills, and that's been proven right these last couple weeks, but the Jets are obviously reeling off of firing their head coach.
Give me the Jets one more time. One more time. You know, last week's game that I watched against the Vikings, it came all the way down to the end, and the Jets could have scored a touchdown to take the lead to win the game. The Jets' defense was playing such good football, and the Vikings got bailed out on a 17-play drive, I believe it was, by three weird penalties. Defensive holding, PI, like just stuff that like you didn't have to call it, right? And they were in backed-up situations. If any one of those does not get called, then they're either punting or kicking field goal, and that game's entirely different. But there were a few drives that game where you're like, the Vikings are on the receiving end of a lot of these calls that I'm like, let the boys play. Especially Sauce. Like, we've seen Sauce hold. He really wasn't. Like, that was just good contact in the NFL. I could see the Buffalo Bills receivers not getting open at all this game. And I could see Josh Allen getting swallowed up in the pocket and the Jets defense just saying, F it. Like, we're here. And I also think that the Bills defense, they're beat up, dude. Like, if there's ever a get-right game versus a team that people perceive to be pretty good, it's this game for the Jets versus the Bills. And again, what do you have to lose, Jets? Your coach is gone. Every coach in that building is going to be gone if you don't get it together. So if you don't think they're going to have if they don't have their best foot forward and their best game plan forward against a decimated Bills team, it's over. And I'm willing to put a little money on them one more time. And I think Aaron Rodgers in prime time against the Bills. Do you remember the last time we had Monday Night Football, Jets, Bills?
No.
I believe it was either Monday or Sunday Night Football last year, week one, when Aaron Rodgers ran out the tunnel MetLife and tore his Achilles. This is an Aaron Rodgers redemption game with no more Xerxes lurking over his shoulder. Give me the Jets. One more time.
I do want to ask what Rodgers and this offense has to do. It was not a great showing these past couple weeks. Rodgers obviously had three interceptions, which is really uncharacteristic last week. Just came down from Shefty that Todd Downing will now be in play calling duties, not Nathaniel Hackett, although Hackett will presumably be sticking around. What are you looking for from this offense to get back on track?
Give me Aaron Rodgers hurry up randomly in the game. I don't want to see Aaron huddle every single play. I don't want to see any of that shit. Let him get to the line of scrimmage. Let him get a formation that has a few different play calls and let him dial it up. Let Aaron Rodgers play a little bit of Madden in real life with hot routes, custom stems, protection flips, like dummy counts. Like, let Aaron Rodgers go cook up his favorite plays a couple times in a drive and get them into hurry up to get this Bills off or defense kind of on their heels. That's what I want. I don't want to see. And also, I'm tired of seeing Aaron Rodgers under center. I know, like, I'm tired of seeing Aaron Rodgers under center all the time. I'm tired of seeing them run the ball on first and second down. Let's just, like, mix this shit all the way up. Let's let the Bills not even have any idea of what they're going to be doing come the first quarter. And just, I don't know, man, give me vintage Rodgers throwing the ball 50 times in the game. If you're Aaron Rodgers throwing the shit out of the ball, I like the odds. I don't like it when it's 3rd and 7 and it's the first time he's throwing the ball that drive. I don't like that. So let's see what happens, man. I'm excited. Grab your popcorn.
All right. Let's close it out with some picks. Brock Purdy sold us last week by 4 yards. Dude, we crushed the CJ Stroud and the Jordan Mason Moore on the yards. And then Brock Purdy comes in, throws interception on that last drive. We only need 6 more yards from
Brock's
him.
Brock's sturdy.
But you're handing out some winners on Twitter. And that feels like a moral winner. Like, that feels like something that should have happened. We were right. It just ended up being wrong. So what are you looking at this week?
Game of the week, number one, is Commanders Baltimore. You know a guy who I love right now? Jaden motherfucking Daniels. He has thrown over 225 yards in every single week. So give me over 200 yards. Give me some juice there. You know who else has been cooking? Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson in 2024 has thrown for over 200 yards 3 out of 5 times. But the 2 times that he didn't, he barely even played in those games in the fourth quarter. The game script got out of hand. It was Dallas and it was Buffalo. He did not have to throw the ball. This game, he's going to have to throw the ball. Give me Lamar Jackson. We're going to tease that thing all the way down to 175. We're at 1.75 now. Now let's keep going around the league. Let's talk quarterbacks. This is going to be an entire quarterback entry. You know who I think is going to throw the shit out of the ball this week? Our one and only Jordan Love. Give me Jordan Love over 225 passing yards, which that is obviously teased. He has hit every single week except for last week. Last week, he had 224. He missed it by one. Is what it is. He's going to throw for over 225. That game was weird. Now, give me some more quarterbacks. We're going to go all the way over to Atlanta. Kirk Cousins, he's set at 260. What are we going to do? We're going to go grab his alternate, guys. We're going to go grab 225 again. And right now we're sitting at 2.4x. A couple quarterbacks to do what they do week in and week out. You want to know another quarterback that I love? We all know it. I love Jared Goff in fantasy football when he decides to sling the rock. Give me Jared Goff over 225 yards against a decimated Dallas Cowboys defense. I like that. Jared Goff this season has thrown for over 225 two out of the last 4 weeks. But the week that he did not, they played the Cardinals. Don't think it was a great game. And he played the Rams. That game was weird. I think that Jared Goff goes for over 225 this week. I think that Dallas defensively is going to be taken advantage of in the passing game more so than the running game. So give me that. And then last but not least, give me Monday Night Football. Give me Aaron Rodgers, whose line is set at 225 passing yards, to throw for over 175. This is going to be a 4x multiplier. $50 pays out nearly $200. And I like what I'm seeing. We're going to go put a little $25 on this one. Maybe not. We're going to put $7.50 because I didn't upload my balance because I put in an entry this morning, guys. But $7.50 pays out $30. I like what I'm seeing. It feels good. The only one that's like a little scary to me, honestly, is Jared Goff, because sometimes their run game gets crazy and they don't need it. I think they're going to need it. I think Dallas is going to score some points. I think it's going to be a high scoring game, but taking quarterbacks to do what they do every single week and bringing it down a little bit makes me feel good.
I like that. I like the quarterback picks there.
Yeah. Give me my quarterbacks this week. Big quarterback.
We know quarterbacks. Well, that's the fattest multiplier we've done this year, Kurt. So, I mean, we pay it up to the people.
People have been saying, oh, 2X, 2X. Oh, you're doing all this for 2X. Okay, give us 4X. Give me a little 4X.
Which,
right?
I even disagree with that premise. Keep if it, you can double your 10. Money, you're going to be one of the best bettors of all time.
That's all I'm saying, dude. All we're looking to do is double our money every week. Is that so much to ask for?
I think, what they want you to do, and I have plenty of friends who are like this, where they're like, look at my strung 8 guys together on this slip. And, I put it.
$5 makes $5,000.
Like, dude, that's a donation. That is not. Yep.
I only got to hit it one time.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, one time changes everything.
We'll meet the people in the middle. That's funny. We'll meet in the middle with this one.
Yep. All righty. I love it. Well, that's our episode. We got a little bit of picks, a little bit of game predictions. Dude, this is going to be a fun week of football. We're really getting into the thick of it. Just to think, not long ago, we didn't even have football. And now we have like 50 straight days of football. So feed me. I'm looking forward to it. Thanks for hanging out with us, guys. And if you're getting into the picks, use code Kurt to get $100 first-time deposit match. Get your free money to go play games with. Look, if you're going to Dave and Buster's, you're going to put $100 on something that you don't even – you might get a stuffed animal out of.
Right.
At least put $100 to get $200 to play with. That's my premise. David. I convinced my wife to upload the other week. So,
oh, my gosh. You're using code Kurt, I hope.
Yep, of course. But – all righty. We'll see you guys next episode. Adios.